The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, I knew this was coming. I knew it was coming. Remember when the state of Ohio was dumb enough to legalize medical marijuana? And pardon me, I realize some of you voted for it. I get that. I know that. So I'm expressing my personal opinion. When that passed, I knew that those proponents of medical marijuana who assured us, we don't want recreational marijuana, we just want medical. That's all we want. Right. The effort to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Ohio has begun. It is called the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Amendment. The proponents turned in a petition summary language and an initial 1,000 signatures to the Ohio Attorney General today. This is the first step in a months-long process to qualify for the November ballot. So in other words, recreational marijuana could be on the ballot in Ohio this November. If you have questions, just take a look at the states, primarily Colorado, but other states that have legalized recreational marijuana, and then look at some statistics. Look at traffic accidents from inhibited driving. Take a look at that. Take a look at emergency room visits from being under the influence of marijuana. Take a look at the incidence of teenagers using marijuana. And, of course, there's a lot of debate. Does it really hurt adults? Oh, there's a lot of debate. But there is no debate whatsoever whether marijuana impacts young people in a negative way and causes severe brain disorders. We know that. That is not in question whatsoever. So if you have questions, if this makes it to the ballot in November, please do your homework. Please do your homework. You're going to have a lot of information on both sides, but take a look at some objective statistics, primarily from Colorado and some other states. Now, the other side is going to have, well, there's more revenue, and we've got taxes, and we're doing this, and, oh, it's wonderful, and, yeah. Just like gambling. Well, anyway, all right, enough of that. They're trying to get it on the ballot in November. I don't know whether you saw this or not, but a picture from the White House has gone absolutely viral in a negative way. I'm looking at the picture right now. It is a group of, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 people. In one of the rooms, office rooms, in the White House. At the center of the picture is Vice President Mike Pence. And they're all praying. They have their heads bowed. They're praying. Now, isn't that a good thing? I mean, political leaders leading in prayer is a part of the fabric of America. George Washington prayed publicly. John Adams prayed publicly. Abraham Lincoln on several occasions called America to prayer. Abraham Lincoln called for repentance and prayer. JFK, a hero of the Democratic Party, was photographed several times praying in the White House, sometimes in the Oval Office. And when that happened, back when JFK was in office, it was, well, isn't that wonderful? We have a president that prays. Nixon, with all of his problems, there were several pictures of Nixon praying. FDR, at the time of World War II, called the entire nation to pray. And he prayed what is now known as the World War II prayer. It's a famous prayer prayed by the president of the United States. And our friend Chris Long is leading the effort to have that prayer at the World War II Memorial. It's already been approved by Congress. All they have to do is get the rest of the money for it. What I'm saying is, prayer has been a part of presidents, vice presidents, congressmen and women, senators. Well, we are facing what could be a worldwide crisis with the coronavirus. Now, who are the people in this room? They are the Coronavirus Task Force. These are the people that the president and vice president have chosen to oversee America's response to this coronavirus. And they're meeting in the White House to develop a strategy. And Vice President Pence simply said, you know what, I think it'd be good that we pray. Well, the photo has gone viral, and the Vice President of the United States is being criticized severely. Thomas Chatterton Williams, a writer for New York Magazine and Harper's Magazine, tweeted this out. Mike Pence and his coronavirus emergency team praying for a solution. We are so blanked. They're praying. Why not? Mike Pence and his coronavirus emergency team praying for a solution. And by the way, there's no indication that that's what they were praying for, a solution. They were praying for wisdom, for guidance. They were probably praying for the people who are ill, the people who have died and their families. They're probably praying for the medical professionals. And they obviously are praying for wisdom and guidance on how to deal with this situation. Well, this writer for New York Magazine and Harper's Magazine, his tweet has gone viral. Other well-known writers have said, for instance, Mike Pence can pray whenever he likes, but I do find it odd to see him leading a prayer during a meeting of the Coronavirus Task Force with people like the head of the CDC and Dr. Anthony S. Fauci. Why would that be odd? Why would that be strange? Novelist Irvine Welsh tweeted, look at these utterly useless blanks praying for the coronavirus to go away. And again, there's no indication that that's what they're praying. Can you imagine that we're at a place in America where the Vice President of the United States, in the midst of a crisis? I mean, we've got the news media saying, we're all going to die, we're all going to die, this coronavirus. And so we got the news media ramping up the hysteria over it. And the Vice President gets a task force around him and says, you know, let's pray. And the secular media goes crazy over it, condemning him for doing something really, really good. That is the liberal left in America. What's good is bad. What's bad is good. What's up is down. What's down is up. What's right is left. What left is right. What is evil is good, and what is good is evil. throughout our entire American history, a president or a vice president that encourages prayer would be lauded, congratulated, thanked. Not today. All right, final break, and we'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. A Wisconsin high school has been forced to close its gender-neutral bathroom. Okay. Now, please understand, I am not gloating in any way because this is sad. It is too sad to gloat. And I'm not trying to say, I told you so, I told you so. But when Wisconsin passed a regulation that in all the high schools in Wisconsin, there had to be gender-neutral bathrooms, and anybody could use them just because they felt like a girl or felt like a boy, and a boy could go in the girl's locker room if he felt pretty. Pardon me, if he felt pretty that day. All right, you and I have talked about this over and over and over again. It's like when Target, you know, when Target said, hey, men, if you want to use the ladies' dressing room, we're not encouraging it, but if you feel pretty, if you identify as a woman, go right ahead. Men, if you want to use the women's bathrooms, go right ahead. You are welcome. You knew it would cause problems, and it has, at Targets all over the country. There have been several men arrested in Target dressings, women's dressing rooms and women's bathrooms. The same thing when schools across the country under the Obama initiatives were forced to allow boys who just said they were girls or girls who said they were boys to use the opposite facilities or whatever. Well, the way some of the schools got around it is they developed a gender-neutral bathroom, trying to protect the kids but obey the rules and regulations. Well, it has begun. Here's the story. School closes gender-neutral bathroom after alleged sexual assault. A Wisconsin high school has been forced to close its gender-neutral bathroom after an 18-year-old student was arrested for fourth-degree sexual assault, child enticement, and exposing his genitals to a child inside the facility. A student at Rhinelander High School. I've been to Rhinelander. I've spoken at, what was the name of the camp up there? Crescent Lake Bible Camp in Rhinelander. In fact, I broadcast my program live from the furnace room. I'll never forget that. Oh, it was in the middle of the summer. I spoke at this youth camp up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and the only place we could get internet was in the furnace room. Oh, my goodness, it was terrible. But anyway, a student at Rhinelander High School was arrested, according to Oneida County Sheriff's Office. And then it goes into what is a fourth-degree misdemeanor and so forth. Captain Terry Hook from the Sheriff's Office said the gender-neutral bathroom has now been closed and that the school hadn't sent a message to parents because it was an isolated incident and the student had been removed from the school. a child is molested in a school bathroom, a gender-neutral bathroom, they closed it down and did not inform parents. The story goes on. In 2017, the Conservative Family Research Council compiled a list of 21 incidents of men assaulting or violating women's privacy in public bathrooms. The group at that time warned that non-discrimination laws allow people to go into bathrooms based on their gender identity rather than their birth sex are giving sexual predators the opportunity to exploit the circumstances and commit voyeurism and sexual assault. And the left called them religious bigots, fanatics, crazy people. It is now coming to pass. Now, I hate to end the program with this weird, wacky, crazy, nutty story, but out of California, you ready for this? I'll have to do it quickly. A new bill in the California State Assembly would forbid stores from separating their toys, clothing, and childcare items into boys' and girls' sections. If this legislation passes in California, stores will not be able, by law, to have a boys' section and a girls' section in the clothes, the toys, or anything, even down to baby items like pacifiers. No more pink, no more blue, no more boys, no more girls, and any store that violates it will be fined $1,000. The bill sponsored by, you want to guess, a Democratic Assembly member, Evan Lowe, says, quote, each retail store shall maintain one undivided area of its sales floor where, if it sells toys, all toys, regardless of whether a particular item has traditionally been marketed for either girls or for boys, it shall be displayed in a non-gender manner. This is actual legislation that's being proposed in California. Assembly Bill 2826. This is not the Babylon Bee or the Onion. Quote, the goal is to have a gender-neutral retail department, the bill says. Oh, the guy who submitted the bill says he was introduced, or he was inspired by an 8-year-old. Yeah, an 8-year-old. The insanity of the left. Hey, folks, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. But as usual, wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.